בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
I'm going to get right into my word here today. We're continuing in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon, and the series is called The Wisdom of Solomon. This message, I gotta tell you, I'm kind of low-key excited about this message. It was like, wow, this is it's interesting, the connection. Aaron, you tell me if you've ever heard anybody talk about that. I'm sure it's not original, but I have never heard anybody talk about this. There's a lot of talk these days about artificial intelligence. You all know that. AI is such a buzzword. Everybody's talking about AI, artificial intelligence. And I'm learning a lot about AI. Even just today, I wrote this message a good while back. And just today, though, I got in this magazine, I get this Mensa magazine, so it's of smart people talking about AI and stuff, and they were talking about AI now. What if they replicate themselves? What's the ethics of that? And it's like, wow, okay. And so they're thinking about all these things, but I'm learning more about artificial intelligence more and more. And honestly, I use it more and more. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. I actually don't have AI write my messages or edit them. Okay. And I said, some of you looking, it's like, some of you chuckled a little bit. I could see, and I know what you were thinking. You were thinking, Rabbi, you don't have to reveal to us that someone other than you didn't come up with your bad jokes. We already knew that. We already knew. No computer could give us that much corn. You know, it's like, it's an organic. Okay. Boy, perfect example right there. But I, as a side note, I bet some speakers do get AI to write their messages, which is a Shonda, I think. But anyway, artificial intelligence is clearly very powerful. Now, understand, I'm not speaking against artificial intelligence per se. Again, I use it often, typically recreationally, honestly, when I just have curious questions to ask out of the blue, I'll just send it to AI. But sometimes I'll ask AI to help me with some research about things. It's a great way to find things quickly. So my message today is not about AI per se, nor is it really even critical of AI. Again, I'm telling you, I use AI. That said, there is a dark side to artificial intelligence if we kind of go down the rabbit hole a little bit. And if you think about it, society has been preparing for this moment and all of the moral dilemmas that come with it for a really long time. We've been preparing for right now. Everything that you hear about AI, we've been preparing for it as a society for many years. I'd say one of my favorite movies of all time is the unbelievably prescient movie War Games. Some of you remember War Games. Man, that's a great movie, okay? But if you don't know, in this movie, an artificial intelligence computer learns and nearly destroys the planet after it locks out human interference and nearly launching nukes. And the movie actually seems perfectly placed today. That sounds like a movie that should be coming out like this next summer, this winter or something. The timing, but y'all, it came out over 40 years ago. Wow, you talk about a movie that was ahead of its time. That was way ahead of its time. Another low-key fave of mine, a little bit more a little bit more gritty, you could call it, is The Terminator. I got some hand waves over there. In this movie, of course, humanity sends someone into the past to save humanity because in the future, humans have been nuked by the artificial intelligence machines that they created. And cyborgs, robots, drones are hunting down the remaining human survivors. That was also made over 40 years ago. That's amazing if you think about it. Now here's the really nutto thing here is that, are you ready for this? The year that they said that the war was being fought, when they were so desperate and they sent somebody back in time, the year in the future was 2029. It's like, wow, they almost absolutely, it's like, whoa, this is a little too close to truth here about where we're at with artificial intelligence and where this movie said. I was like, wow, that is unbelievable. Very interesting. Even The Matrix came out over a quarter century ago, the story of humans simply being looked at as energy sources for the machine. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't think that let's all go run for the caves. Come on, let's go. No, I don't think that we need to do that. That's not what I'm saying. That said, there is an important principle here that we actually all resonate with. If you stop for a minute and intellectually and physically and emotionally and spiritually, if you think about it, we can resonate with the fact that there's this quandary here, and tech leaders of today are all grappling with the ethics of artificial intelligence for these very reasons and more. And honestly, understandably, it's interesting. It's been reported that Israel, in fact, is using artificial intelligence to parse potential enemy targets that will not cause as many civilian casualties. And we may say, well and good. And other countries are doing this also, of course. I'm sure you know that. Certainly our government is using the AI like crazy. But ethicists ask the question, where is the line? Because we all know intuitively, all of us know, every one of you watching online, all of us know intuitively that there should be a line somewhere. But how is it that we all intuitively know this? Let's go to Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 11, Genesis Bereshit in the Torah. In the Torah, Genesis chapter 11, something very interesting happened. If you know the history of the world and the scriptural history, right, Brian? Something very interesting and unusual happened in 11 that's kind of almost out of place in the rest of the Bible. It's just like this one little kind of partial chapter of a story that's just like, whoa, this is dramatic. It's on the level of kind of like almost Noah. The people of Earth got together and they thought very highly of themselves. Genesis 11 verse 4 says this, talking about the people of Earth at the time. Then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower whose top reaches into heaven. So let's make a name for ourselves, or else it will be scattered over the face of the whole land. Then Adonai came down to see the city and the tower that the sons of man had built. Adonai said, look, the people are one and all of them have the same language. So this is what they've begun to do. Now nothing they plan will be too impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand each other's language. So Adonai scattered them from there over the face of the entire land, and they stopped building the city. This is why it is named Babel, because Adonai confused the languages of the entire world there, and from there Adonai scattered them over the face of the entire world. Ooh, very interesting. The Tower of Babel. Wow. Boy, interesting. The Tower of Babel. Wow. Humankind had essentially was getting a little bit too big for its britches, as they say in the South here. And it hasn't changed. In fact, after a dip, you could say, Genesis 11 sounds more like today. I was a psychology minor at Georgia Tech, and man has been seeking a state that some call self-actualization or transcendence or Zen or preeminence. This is nothing new. What mankind, what humans are seeking today outside of God is the same thing that they were seeking in Genesis 11. Wow. Think about that for just a minute. I'm reading from Genesis 11 for crying out loud. We haven't even gotten in world history to Abraham yet. Abraham had not even been born. This is how far back it goes. This is happening way back then. Ancient history. See, we understand intuitively that there are dangers within artificial intelligence because we know that computers always have to remain subject to and inferior to humans. We all know that intuitively. We've seen the movies. We know what happens when it doesn't happen, and it's bad. We feel it. Even if I asked you today, this is not some science fiction movie anymore. This is like what modern day ethicists are dealing with. And we all, if I ask anybody here watching online, listening on the podcast, everybody would know, ooh, there is a line with artificial intelligence. And computers always have to remain subject to and inferior to humans. But in some ways, friends, I'm sad to tell you, we're kind of losing that battle a little bit. I want to give you some interesting numbers here. You know, the human brain is so complex. Wow. Scientists are still just trying to kind of get, just scratching the surface in the human brain. But they have been able to work on the complexity of it in terms of its processing speed. Now, people think of the human brain as, well, you think you're doing one thing at one time. Maybe I'm talking right now. Your brain is doing a gazillion things at the same time. It's unbelievable. You know, your brain is controlling your pituitary right now. Your brain is influencing your spleen. You didn't even have to explain it at all to the brain. Your brain has stored so many memories in such detail. The brain is such a complex organism. You're breathing. Your brain's doing so much concurrently. It's mind-blowing to scientists. In 2002, just 23 years ago, in 2002, compared to the complexities of the human brain, the world's most advanced supercomputer could do calculations at a speed that was 0.03% of the brain's processing power. Now, you think about that for a second. I didn't say 3% of the brain's processing power, the world's greatest supercomputer. I didn't say 3%. I didn't say a third of a percent, 0.03%. A tiny fraction the world's greatest supercomputer could do in 2002. Still amazing, by the way, considering the complexities of the human brain. By 2011, they were still at less than 1%. That's in every person in here's lifetime. 2011, that wasn't that long ago at all. I have ties much older than that. 2011, they were still less than 1% of the brain's processing power, but they were growing. 2018, scientists say they were at 20% of the brain's, they call it the flop rate. 2025, they just doubled the brain's processing rate. They just doubled it. By the way, and I'm not joking here at all, I found these numbers from an artificial intelligence app. Thank you very much. I promise it's the God-honest truth. Thank you. It is. It had sources. I looked them up. But computers can never be seen as being better than or having authority over humans. We all know this, but our intuitive fear is that they might do just that. Why? Because the concern is that they may eventually come to believe that they know better than us. This is exactly why movies like War Games, The Terminator, and The Matrix are so popular, and why they resonate with us. Because it's intuitive to us that this is wrong. You all, I know, agree with me on this. It's the wrong order. At the end of the day, all of us would even say it's immoral, even. We feel it. And you're right. You're absolutely right. We understand that no matter how complex, intelligent, and creative computers get, they are and always will be inferior to humans. Now we get to the quote from Rabbi Robert Solomon. Here it comes. Here's the quote. You know this one. This is one of his biggies. Some of you have been waiting weeks for this one. You knew this one was coming eventually. Those of you who knew Rabbi Robert Solomon, here's the quote. Friends, you have to remember that God is the creator and you are the creation. Amen. You remember that, Lynn, don't you? He said that 1,000 times if he said it once. That's right. God is the creator, and you, my friend, are the creation. Now, I'm going to repeat what I just said a second ago. In this context, we have to understand that no matter how complex, how intelligent, how creative we get, we are and always will be inferior to God. Ooh, I got a lot of amens out there. Some IT people are saying, man, I like this message. It's interesting. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans 1. Romans 1. Listen to the depravity of man, even in Yeshua's day. Wow, it's unbelievable. We're talking about in Yeshua's day, and there's a reason for this. I'll talk about it. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says that the people of the day, they traded the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Very interesting. So the people of that day, we read, Rabbi Shul talk about, they were worshiping the creation and not the creator. Historians will tell you this. In classic Greek philosophy, much of which was adopted by the Romans, there was a near worship of the human form. This is why, you know, you look back and throughout history, and especially in the Greek and Roman eras, nudity in art was common. And it was symbolic of virtue and the divine. Paul knew this well. and saw that people were much more focused on worshiping the creation and not the creator. And what I got to say is, Paul, welcome to 2025. We are here. My gosh, we see this today more than ever. People think they are at God's level. And when people think that they're at God's level, they seek to, this is going to make a lot of sense, they seek to recreate themselves in terms of things like gender or sexuality. Their lives center around themselves and not God. The guy who took Charlie Kirk's life last week tried to put himself in the place of God. Beloved, we are like the machines that would rebel against the Creator. We're the AI that thinks that we know better than the Creator. Now, this is not meant to imply that we are simply robots. It's not my point. It's not a perfect parallel. I think you get the point, though. God surely made us unique among all the animals with the ability to think, reason. God made us unique among the animals with the ability to think, reason, learn, and make decisions. As a side note, each thing I just said is in the definition from NASA of artificial intelligence. The difference is we have a soul and free will to choose to follow God or not. And that's fair and true. But still, friends, He is the Creator. We are the creation, and He knows better than us. At our best, we're not close to Him. And we need to conduct ourselves accordingly, understanding that He loves us and He wants the best for us. And if we submit ourselves and our wills to Him, He will bless us. Someone say amen. Genesis chapter 3. I know some of you out there were saying, well, Genesis 11 is pretty early, Rabbi, but it's not that early. Okay, good. Let's go to Genesis 3. I know no one said that. Remember that this is the very first temptation. Hasatan, the devil, spoke to the woman in the Garden of Eden. What did Hasatan, the evil one, the adversary, the deceiver, say to the woman? Genesis 3, verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You most assuredly won't die if you eat of the fruit. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Hey, Eve, when you eat of it, you will be like God. Wow. It sounds like one of these movies. Think about the movies and the parallel to this. It's the month of Elul. Some of you today carry yourselves like you think you are God. Now, you'd never say that. No one would ever say, "I'm kind of like God." No one would ever be so brash as to say it. And really, you don't even think in those terms. It's not like you're thinking, "Well, I'm like God. I can do whatever I want to do." Nobody thinks like that. I get it, right? But you live your life not in accordance with what the Creator asks of you. By the way, for all you techies, you can find the owner's manual right here. Maybe you're familiar with it. This is the owner's manual. It's called the Bible. Now, thankfully, God loves us and wants good things for us. His kindness and mercy are everlasting, and thank God for that. But you see, that's all the more reason why we should seek to do the will of the Creator. Someone say amen. And to remind ourselves of our place as the creation. Because if we really reflect on this, y'all, and I'm talking about like not purely philosophically, but practically, the more we understand that we're the creation and He is the Creator, it will help us become less critical. It'll help us become less disobedient. It'll help us become less prideful. It will allow us to become less discontent. In times like this, even when there's craziness in the world around us, like we've seen this last week, we can be sure that the Creator has things in hand. His ways are way, way higher than our ways. Remember that always, no matter what it is you're going through. But even for believers, oftentimes God becomes an advisor at best, an advisor. We know what's right, but we'll simply process this and take it into account. And at the end of our processing, then we will decide. And oftentimes, other things just edge out what God asks of us. Our brilliant AI brains decides that we want pleasure instead. No, I know God said this, but I would like pleasure. And for me, that's going to overrule what the programming that God put in the book for us says that we should do. Remember, this is what we feared with AI, right? That AI would eventually do things that was not its programming that would be against us. This is what we do. This is what we do. No, I think that I'm going to overrule that and I'm going to do this pleasurable thing. I think I want satisfaction instead. No, I think I want acceptance instead. No, I think I want sleep instead. That's really meant for the Saturday morning crew, you know. I think I want to sleep. I don't want to be in God. You know, I know it's important to be in God's house, but I need my beauty rest. Whatever it is, you understand, all of us have things. We're making a calculation right there. This is a programming issue. Our equations are not what the Creator would have wanted. It's like a computer that you create, but in the end, it decides whether or not the hard, fast rules you set up in its programming are valid for itself or not valid for itself. We got a few programmers out there. You program the computer, and there's some hard, fast rules that you put in the programming of the computer. This is never to be broken. This rule is never to be broken. This rule is never to be broken. And then eventually the computer gets so full of itself that it says, you know what? I'm going to decide if I'm going to break that rule or not. Intuitively, we all know, that's dangerous. Everybody knows, that's dangerous. You're right, it's dangerous. But we do it all the time. Because God gives us His rules. But He also gives us a choice. Now, friends, I understand that we are not computers. We are of infinitely more value. I think I pretty clearly established that at this point. That said, what's going on in the world today is like a spiritual war games. The creation thinks it knows better than the Creator. And brothers and sisters, this should not be. The Creator will always know better than us. So, beloved, we need to check our internal coding. Are you placing the King on the throne of your life? The high holy days are almost here. Let it sink into your spirits. He is the creator. We are the creation. And the title of my message is Artificial Intelligence. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that is you and you've never given your life to the Lord, but you'd like to, how about today? If that's you and you've never given your life to God, but you want to, raise your hand and we'll pray together. Wow, this is a really, we're right here at Rosh Hashanah. Oof, is there anybody who's never said yes to Messiah, but you want to today? Maybe you're online watching or listening to the podcast. If that's you, repeat this simple prayer after me. God will transform you. Say, dear God, I humbly come before you. I ask Yeshua into my heart. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me of my sins. I'll live for you the rest of my days in the Messiah that sits at your right hand. Thank you, Lord, for transforming my life, Lord. Let me live according to the way you designed me. That's intelligent design. Thank you, Lord, for this in Yeshua's name. If you said that prayer for the first time and you are in this room, see me after the service. I want to rejoice with you. If you're watching online or on the podcast, please send us an email. We want to celebrate also. Lord, we're about to enter into Rosh Hashanah. We're about to enter into these high holy days. God, our prayer is that we will not think that we are better than the Creator. My prayer, Lord, for all of us is that we have a healthy recognition that we are the creation and you are the Creator. So, Lord, in that spirit, Lord, let us submit to you and your will in our lives. Let us not have so much of a self-agenda and more of your agenda. Lord, let it not be our will that's done. Let it be your will that's done. Lord, let us not try to take things into our own hands. Let us place our life in your hands. Lord, I thank you for this, God. I bless you. I'm so excited about these holy days that are coming up, Lord. Please send your spirit across this world and especially amongst our people, Lord, and bring about, Lord, salvation. Thank you, God. Thank you for everyone here. We bless you for all these things. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Erev Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.